It's 10:01 a.m. on a Monday, all at once. Your sales leader needs to know which deals are at risk. Your PM wants feature adoption by cohort, and your CFO needs one last graph for the board. Now your data team has to say no to somebody. Hex changes that. Ask any data question in plain English and get an analyst-grade response, all backed by your actual business context as defined by your data team. Start saying yes to more data questions at hex.ai.
So excited!
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media Station.
ESPN.
ESPN.
97.5. This is The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell now, for the next 2.5 hours here on ESPN 97.5. Raheel joins us at 9, and we're talking about the weekend that was. Texanless. Really nothing Houston, really. I guess Brian Gain got a 5-year deal, and Bill O'Brien got extended.
Bill O'Brien extension was kind of a big deal.
Yeah, kind of a big deal. But it happened on Friday, and everybody would talk about it, I guess. It was after our show, though.
Yeah.
It was after our show.
There was a lot of talk on Twitter about it. I think it is a big deal because I think a lot of people worked off the assumption that, well, you know, you got this year to see how Bill O'Brien does, and if you don't like it, you can, you know. Idea that it was going to be Bill O'Brien and Gain had 1 year and it could be 1 year, like, no, this is a long term. As soon as Rick said, I'm not coming, I'm sorry, it's a comma, not a period.
Right. Well, I had written that it could possibly be 1 year because they might have only, you know what, if they only gave him another year, if they only extended him, now, on Friday, I said that he'd get a 3-year extension.
Yeah.
That's what I predicted. I was wrong by a year. Gain got a 5-year deal. Here's the thing about it. I thought maybe they'd extend Bill O'Brien another year, and then, you know, let's see what happens this year. And then maybe if they really screw it up, if they don't get it done, maybe they say, you know what, Bill, I don't know that you deserve any more than 1 year, but they figured, hey, he deserves 4 more years. A lot of people are asking, why does he deserve 4 more years? I can understand that. I think the thought is it's harder to get a good coach than it is a general manager, and I think that's a really good thought. But I think Bill O'Brien is a good coach. But I obviously, we all think he has flaws.
I don't know that he earned that extension yet. I know this way. You don't usually get it after a 4-win season.
No.
That's probably incredibly rare.
Maybe he'd get another year, and they'd see after next year whether or not, you know what, did we make the right choice? If not, Rick's always waiting in the wings.
I honestly felt that as soon as this thing went down with Rick and it was clear that Brian Gain or one of Bill O'Brien's guys were coming back, I thought an extension was imminent because Bill O'Brien is going to say, I'm not staying unless Rick is gone. That's always been the case.
Right.
That's always been the case.
Right.
And as soon as Rick decided to step away or mutually, whatever that was, independent of what Rick has going on in his personal life with his wife, for those who don't know her, you know, she has had cancer treatments, not personal as in a marriage problem or anything like that. As soon as that was decided, I figured this is an extension coming because OB won and he's not going to just stick around, you know, if he's just going to be on the hook. So I figured an extension was coming. It's a long extension. It's a legitimate second contract. They roll this next year in. Some of you guys will say it's a 5-year extension. He was already on the books for next year.
Well, here's the deal. When I wrote, he's got another year, Brian Gain is coming in here and all of that. Did you ever think they were going to go, yeah, 4 more years? Yeah, another 4 more years for Bill.
I thought it was going to be an extension. Yeah,
I did. Well, I did too. I thought he'd give him another year. Then Friday, I go, wow, Brian Gain, they're hiring. I got 3 more years. But the next day they said, we need a new GM. The day after they said, yeah, Rick is done. He's just comma, all this stuff. The next day, they're like, we got a search committee.
Yeah.
We got to find us a GM.
That's how you know none of that's accurate. That's how you know that was Rick was just a lot of talk.
But the fact that they, I thought, you know what? He's got to still be on double secret probation. He won four games this year.
Let me ask you, was this, okay, that's fine. Tell me how that differs at all from Bob McNair's dealings with anybody else he's had. Gary got a long leash. Dom had
Charlie that, didn't.
Right. By today's standards, it was a long leash.
4 years.
People get fired after two. Yeah, but
forget he took over an expansion team with no talent. So, I mean, you got to give him more than 2 years with an expansion team.
We'll tell it to Chris Palmer in Cleveland.
Yeah, but Chris Palmer got his quarterback killed. I mean, Chris Palmer was, what, one, two, three games?
70 sacks. Into the first a season
here when they had to get him out of here?
David Carr, 70 sacks. First
and you know
season.
What they did? The next year when nothing changed?
Oh, yeah, he got two quarterbacks.
Yes.
Yeah, that's probably
the next
fair.
Year he got three games in. Before, Chris Palmer's got to go.
But it's changed now. 4 years at that time for an expansion team, that seemed reasonable. The last year was a down year. You could argue that what Bill O'Brien inherited and going 9-7, 9-7, 9-7, 4-12 is not that different than what that team, you and I both know where that team was. It had a pretty good defense, pretty good talent as an expansion team. It's a pretty good talent that they got. Gary Walker, Seth, Aaron Glenn, Marcus. I mean, Jamie Sharper, it's pretty good talent. But it was older talent and it was starting to fade away. And they had nothing offensively. Well, you know, there was a growth. The Texans grew the first 3 years. And then the fourth year was a disappointing 2-win season, so he was gone. But Rick Smith, incredibly patient with Rick Smith. Gary Kubiak could have been fired after the 2010 season. The 6-win season was so many disasters. Stuck it out with both of those guys. Then there was another bad season that Rick survived, or actually Rick survived the 2-win season in 2013. So this is kind of his operate. He's going to give you long leashes. He's not going to pull the 1 year, 2 year.
Well, yeah, no, I agree.
McNair lets it go.
I agree. And I mean, I think it's arguable. You know, does Bob McNair know how to win in the NFL? I think that's a pretty good argument.
I think that's a very, I think the answer is really no. I mean, I think we've seen enough that the answer is no, he doesn't know how. He may at some point. I don't think he knows any secret formulas. I think that's clear.
No.
He could sneak into it.
And, you know, he's using the same, I have a coach that I like, so let's get him a crony that he likes so that they can work together, and let's see how that works out. When he already did that with Gary Kubiak and Rick Smith, and I guess they got to their best place ever with those two, with the Matt Schaub years, 12 and 13, 11 and 12, whatever that was, 11 and 12. 11 and 12,
yeah. 11
and 12. He had those best years, so let's do that again. And I don't know why you think, let's do that again.
Can we make sure on Brian Gaines' bio blast it says Bill O'Brien's crony as part of his bio blast?
That didn't feel like a compliment.
No.
Well, cronyism doesn't feel like a compliment word.
No, it's not. But you know that you have to have a. I guess, and again, we're in limbo. Who's making the picks? Who's the boss? It's Bill O'Brien got Brian Gain back, just like Gary Kubiak got Rick Smith here. There's no now the organization is aligned. How is it aligned? It's going to be the same quantum theory formula as to who's making picks and responsible. And again, it's going to be whispers back to, well, that was listen. This
honestly,
is,
if
this
you
is
ask
who
the question,
Bill O'Brien wanted. Okay, there's nothing. That's what Bill wanted.
Oh no. He won't. Let me tell you who won't be whispering. Brian Gaines not going to whisper. Brian's not much of a talker.
Well,
period.
when it's all falling apart, his agent's going to whisper. Ah, that was Bill O'Brien.
You know who his agent is?
Yeah.
If you look at his agent's number, it says B-O-B. Agency. The B-O-B. Agency says Texans GM Search Agency. Hello? Is this Bill O'Brien?
Hey, yeah.
Yeah. We need your client.
Yeah, listen, I don't care what you say.
I was calling about your client, Brian Gain. Yeah, what about him?
I don't really care what you say.
But No, I think it's here's the answer you'll get. So when it comes to personnel decisions, how is this going to take place? We're going to work together. It's going to be a team decision. And so,
good God.
Yeah. I don't know. I would say all this has to go back on Bill O'Brien, but I don't know. Maybe he will let Brian Gain handle personnel, but he's definitely going to have his hand in personnel. There's no question Bill O'Brien's going to have his hand in personnel decisions.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I mean draft.
No, right. Right.
I think he may let, in free agency, Bill O'Brien will have to give the yes on everything that happens. So I think that should be his responsibility, right? Is there any doubt that he's got to say, yes, I give this my endorsement?
Well, that's not what's going to, because Brian Gain answers to, Brian Gain answers to Bob McNair.
I mean, that's true.
That was the point that was said, but he answers to Bob McNair, not to Bill O'Brien. So again, we're whisper.
The last time we had a clear division of labor was Dom and Charlie. And even then, Charlie, gave in to for the Jason Babin pick. It wasn't even, Charlie didn't want to make that pick. There were still some things. Of course, I think that's more normal as you let coaches have certain picks.
Well, I don't know. That was a much better pick than
Charlie had his own
Charles show. Grant.
Do you think the,
remember that Charles,
is that the guy in the second round?
The third rounder that was cut in the first ever draft.
Charles Hill.
I keep saying Grant. Yeah, Charles Hill. Cut third rounder and for an expansion team in their first year. What?
There had to be something really bad in his background.
Something.
I mean, for you to not hold on to him and just pretend third like you got it right. Third rounder
for an expansion team?
Yeah, my guess is if we Google searched him, there's some kind of things that have happened since then.
He's probably in prison. I don't know. Why do I have to put him in prison? Maybe he's a really great... he might be a preacher. I don't know.
What's the first Case Keenum call do you think we'll get? What's the over-under on it? You think it could be Juan?
Might be.
Could be.
If you ignore Case Keenum today, then I don't know what you're doing.
If you truly had the shortest wait time in the industry, we'd find out right now. But all you right. don't, so.
We don't? You want to hold him through a break?
No, that's what you do.
We have the shortest wait times in the
industry. Not on this show.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do.
We have the shortest.
Look it. Let's get Juan in here on ESPN 97.5.
Shortest wait.
Shortest wait ever. What's up, Juan?
Hey, Granado. I met you at the Christmas party at Knicks and complained about defense. How about that last play at the Vikings game? That's exactly what I'm talking about. When you try to put your head down and, make a hit, tackle, or excuse. The excuse they gave yesterday was, you don't want to commit pass interference. But if you have time, if you're going to get there early, go for the damn ball. Pick it off. Cut it off. That's my problem. There's not going to be a pass interference if you can get there before the ball gets to the receiver.
Well, sure. I mean, but it's all bang, bang, bang. It's easy to say, Juan, what he was thinking, what not thinking. I mean, it looks really, really bad. He ducked his head. He dove. He didn't do anything. Yeah, maybe he
didn't do anything.
He didn't do anything. Well, I think he was frozen, right? Dell, this is what you were saying, and there's absolutely nothing. And afterwards, he said, he was avoiding an interference.
I don't know. I have to listen to, but it felt like, I don't know what the defensive coaches are telling you, but from what we heard from the announcers, you can't let them out of bounds, but you don't want to have a pass interference happen. So instead of playing football, he stopped. He stopped playing football at that moment. He got there early, as Juan pointed out. I don't know if he was early enough to pick it off, but he got there early enough. And the Saints, by the way, had been called for how many pass interference in that ball game? So I think all of it played a part, and he figured
Crowley, so
yeah, but they all were called pretty much.
This is like, I'm reading his comments. I got to go play the ball, and he lowered his head and shoulder and attempted to drive through Diggs' leg.
No, he didn't.
I mean, here's what it almost looked like he did an ole.
Yeah.
The bottom line is he could have held his hands and clasped him behind his back and smashed into him as hard as he could with his face, and it would have probably knocked Stephon Diggs out of bounds with no time.
What did you used to say about Kelvin Cato?
That he could fall on the ground and roll around and get as many of the same stats as he got. He'd get 5 rebounds from the ground.
From the ground.
Yeah, he could just roll down the field.
So if Marcus Williams had just rolled.
If Marcus Williams
he would have
had just run face first with his eyes open, face first with no hands. If he was a safety with no arms, he could have ended the game. Even if he had no arms, if he had the first no-arm safety, and there's no comments about any linebackers, He had no.
What? No, no, no.
If
no,
you know has, exactly what I'm
what about, that, what about both, that fight we watched between those two guys?
Mark that did look like somebody could have gotten hurt, though.
No, not really. Not from what I could tell. No one had the reach advantage in that one.
I've never seen anything like that. Two guys, both with no arms.
Go to Barstool and look up no arm. Two guys, no arms.
Their
arms
ended at like their elbow, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. Ooh. Maybe a little bit before.
Before that.
Yeah. At the bicep.
Right about the bicep.
And they fought each other.
Yeah. It was one of the great fights of all time.
The punch stat numbers were terrible. David. Larry, I got this fight 0-0. No wins. No 10-point must. One guy is connected.
Howard Letterman, yeah.
Floyd was like, I like that. No one's getting touched here.
Yeah,
this is great.
This is great. Of course, Floyd. Because you're a stupid little bitch, Floyd. Easy, Connor.
4,000 punches thrown, none connected.
What are we doing?
Flailing.
No.
It was
but
great.
Marcus Williams, man, he'll live this one forever.
Oh, no, it'll never go away.
This way
except
you
Earl
see
Thomas
what you
has went away. Go watch Earl Thomas defend Michael Crabtree in that Texas Tech Texas game.
This was a chance to go play Nick Foles for a Super Bowl.
With Drew Brees as your quarterback.
This got Texas Tech to 2 in the nation, though.
And then they got blown out.
But this is a bigger deal.
And then they got their ass handed to them. All right. 703-780-3776. The shortest wait times in the business right here on ESPN 97.5. Come on. Trailer Wheel Frame is what we're talking about right now. TrailerWheel.com. TrailerWheel.com. This year is the year. I don't know that it's the year of the pickup, but I can tell you this. They've got everything you could possibly want to outfit your truck with a bed liner, bed cover, toolbox, host of other accessories. They've got them all at Trailer Wheel and Frame. They've got service bays dedicated solely to the pickup trucks. Of course, they're going to take care of you with your trailer as well. But they love trucks, too. So if you're looking for, I'm telling you, go ahead, get that toolbox or that bed liner from the dealership and see what you pay as opposed to what you would pay. Ask the dealer, how much is this? You know, how much is it? How much is it for a grill guard from a pickup? And the dealer's going to give you a price. And then go to Trailer Wheel and Frame and see what the price is going to be. Just about identical, or maybe even better, because it's made right here with the precision of Mateco, which is a subsidiary of Trailer Wheel and Frame, or they're both their sister stations. So if you're looking for a great way to save money and get your pickup looking awesome, 8222 I-45 North, that's the Canino exit, trailerwheel.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. All right, let's talk about yesterday. Enough Texans. God, we started the show with the Texans for whatever reason. All right, so... Case Keenum, did he win it or did the Saints lose it?
Saints lost it. I mean, Marcus screwed that. Well, I mean, they had a big lead. They blew a big lead. It was the biggest blown lead in playoff history for the Vikings or whatever, potentially. And so I give the Saints
the
credit for coming
comeback
back.
By the
Saints couldn't do anything offensively. Yep. And then they made a big comeback and they got back. But, I mean, ultimately, the Vikings couldn't stop. And Drew Brees is a How about the 4th-and-10 completion to get them in position for a field goal? Lutz nailed it. I mean, right down the chute. Just, I was waiting to see, is this going to be a hook? Is this going to be
but that was a hell of a throw.
Who's the guy, Papadopoulos, Sneed? Who missed the kick? I was like,
Papanastos.
Is this going to be a Papadopoulos where he just shanks it to the left? He was just straight down the chute, which is the big difference between college and pro.
And so was Forbath.
No, Forbath was money, too.
Yeah.
How shocked are you?
Does Forbath look like a kicker to you guys? I mean, honestly, if you say you pick out every, you look at everybody on, no, that's what a kicker looks like for an NFL team. A really skinny and not looking like a football player at all.
No, yeah, Forbath looks like that for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you were trying to intimate that he didn't.
He looks exactly.
It's kind of like Jason
Elam. He's like the poster child of what
it's kind
of
like Jason Hansen for the Lions. Used to like, well, there's no question this guy's
this
a
guy
kicker.
Is. Yeah.
With Randy Bullock, he's either a kicker or a deep snapper.
He could be a deep snapper.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vinatieri. I mean,
Kai Fairbairn, absolutely a kicker.
Todd Sauerbrunn?
I don't know how.
Weightlifter.
I don't know how good a kicker Kai Fairbairn is.
Oh, he's money sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, is he? Is he?
Sometimes.
Anyway, so, yeah, about half the time. He's
punter for the Raiders? What does he look like?
Wide receiver?
He could be, yeah.
Marquette King?
Safety.
He could be a safety. He could be anything. He could be anything he wants to be, though.
He looks rangy.
Particularly on this day. Yes. Mm-hmm. On the MLK Day, Marquette King could be anything he wants to be.
That's right.
Yes.
You're damn right.
Including a punter.
Happy Martin Luther King.
And he decided to be a punter, yes.
So
I don't know if he decided to be a punter. They're like, Marquette, you're not that fast.
He might have lived in a, he might have lived in a neighborhood or area where it's like a ton of really good skill position guys, and they're like, you suck. And he's like, I guess I want to try to punt. I don't know.
Marquette's from Macon, Georgia.
Yeah, well, he could have got hooked up with some guys who could play a little bit. And
they said, you better start kicking.
We need a punter. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
I could punt, and all of a sudden, like, wow, this guy can punt.
Yeah.
He was recruited as a wide receiver to Fort Valley State, and he couldn't get no time, so he had to switch to something else.
Fort Valley State, he couldn't get no time?
Nah.
Huh? Anyway, so, hey, three good games, and then the Patriots-Titans game.
So Patriots-Titans, it was a bad game. It was also the Titans getting put in their place. I mean, Titans aren't that close. Titans kind of got lucky to get back in that one previously, and then they won, you know, and the Patriots did what they do. I still, to this day, I said it before, Jags-Steelers was not going to be friendly to the Steelers because the Steelers don't match up well with the Jags, and I really don't think the Patriots match up well with the Jags.
It's a Coughlin thing. It's a front four that can get to you without
the biggest weaknesses
without blitzing.
Are the interior pass protection is not great for Tom Brady.
Nope, and it wasn't.
And that happens to be what they do pretty well.
And it wasn't early the other night.
Yeah, and then you've got two good corners, and you don't have good receivers. You've got Gronk now. How you handle Gronk, I don't know. I don't know how they're going to handle it. I would put Jalen Ramsey on it.
That's what I would do, too.
I wouldn't even mess around with your wide receivers. Like, you want to beat me with Danny Amendola? Knock yourself out. You want to beat me with Brandon Cooks? To me, I go, you go in your nickel set, and you go with A.J. Bouye on Cooks, Jalen Ramsey on Gronkowski, and I can't remember who their third corner is. Third corner on Amendola. And I stay on the same sides of the field of those guys at all time. I would always have Jalen. Jalen is big and strong and physical. He's the best cover corner probably in the game today. You have to play him on Gronk. If you don't, Gronk is going to tear your butt.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know any other way to say that.
Well, and don't let Gronk beat you, and there's a good chance you can win the football game. And
when there's no Gronk.
Yeah. Take him out of the game, and you can win the football game. Listen, this thing's at 9 now. I'm predicting it's going to 10, 10.5, because there's going to come in so much money at 9 on the Patriots that they're going to have to go up. But quite frankly, Tom Coughlin on one side of the ball, and he knows how to beat the Patriots. No one else does. He does. Well, the Broncos do, but it's about the same kind of deal. Great defense, a stout front four. Although that front four gave Ben a lot of time yesterday. Ben had for a front four and a defense that was, hey, Ben put up big numbers on him. Now, they also had their screw ups. And number one for me was the onside kick.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap, dude. You've got two timeouts and the two-minute warning. You pin them back as far as you can.
Dan Fouts couldn't believe it.
No one could believe it. I mean, it's about as that. Mike Tomlin, what are you doing? And how piss poor was that onside kick?
Mm-hmm.
Chris Boswell with magic feet who can kick behind
Chris Boswell's a great onside kicker, and he, like, kicked his own guy.
What the hell were you doing, Chris Boswell? You thought I'm going to talk about a choke, but the fact that they're doing that, give them the ball at the 25.
Yep.
They don't get a first down. They kick it back to you. You start at the 30. Instead, they start at your 45, get 9 yards, kick the field goal, and the game's over. That can't have been dumber. And if Mike Tomlin, what he did in that football game, well, Todd Haley, I guess. Since Bill O'Brien's calling the plays, I know we would have destroyed him. But if Todd Haley, the fourth down sweep, the fourth down pass, how they're not getting destroyed today in Pittsburgh is beyond me.
Well, they probably are.
Yeah, I would imagine.
I would imagine they are. There was Tomlin's going to take a lot today, and a big one's going to be the onside kick. But to me, I mean, yeah, the onside kick. But the other thing was when you had your opportunity, you got to get in field goal range, leave yourself a little bit of time, kick a chippy, and leave yourself enough time at least to get a touchdown. They end up scoring a touchdown with no time left.
No.
You should never be at that point when you need two scores. You kick a field goal. I don't care if there's 17 seconds left. Kick field goal. You leave yourself 17 seconds, and you at least get another shot.
Yeah, get a try.
I mean, you didn't give yourself an opportunity to succeed. I got to tell you, the Steelers have become a giant pain in the ass team, though. As far as not being like, Juju Smith has kind of taken him to another level with a lot of his comments and stuff he's done. Antonio Brown is still in. How incredible is Antonio Brown to just come off the injury and just like, and Ben made some pretty amazing throws to him. Yep. But Antonio Brown's concentration is just off the charts. And A.J. Bouye did everything he could, including rip and pull at the jerseys, hands, arms, and tug at the shoulder pads all the way down the field. No calls. Guess what there's going to be a lot of next week? I had a friend tell me this. He goes, you know what's going to happen next week? About 100,000 penalty calls to make sure that Blake Bortles is not in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, probably. Yes. There's such a thing. We had a deal with Cowboy Steve on Twitter. He's so stupid. It's just amazing. Anyway, so let me ask you this. Ross Tucker said this, and Ross Tucker is almost Rocky. He is so wonderful to listen to. I had to listen all the way back from Louisiana. We went to Louisiana this weekend and listened all the way back. And Ross Tucker is awesome to listen to because he sounds just like Rocky doing the color commentary. He said Antonio Brown is the best wide receiver of the last 20 years.
I thought about that. What's the default? Moss?
Randy Moss.
Calvin Johnson?
T.O.
T.O. will never get that love, but T.O. was tremendous.
They're tremendous.
So T.O. was tremendous. He just overshadowed himself. Well,
yeah, right. With his
Randy Moss quit on an entire organization.
Yep.
On the Raiders. He got
He's the most
away.
Talented of all of them.
Randy's the most talented. But if you think about it,
I mean, who would you
Antonio
want?
Antonio Brown is short, and it doesn't matter because he's changed. He doesn't hit any of the physical norms that you want out of a number one wide receiver, and yet he is his numbers. If you go look at him right now, his numbers are truly unbelievable.
Yeah, he is. He's so spectacular. He does it week in and week
Do you think
out.
He's not? Dominance.
I don't know
he's
who. I would probably take Moss first. I would probably take Moss first because he can. But I don't know. You pass on Antonio Brown.
It's not. This isn't a
that.
Small sample size.
No.
For Antonio Brown either. Here
but it
you
wasn't.
Go.
I mean, look at Randy Moss though.
This has been five straight years of 1499, 1698, 1834, 1284, and then this year he had 1500 yards with 14 games.
Yeah.
Here's his touchdown totals. So if you think, oh, he's Andre Johnson, 13, 10, 12, and a 9. Once again, he would have hit double digits if he had played in those two games. So,
no, he's.
Let me go,
I don't,
let
I don't
me
know.
Go remind myself on Randy Moss. Yeah. Let me just
right,
see.
Go ahead. Yeah, while you do that, I'm going to remind everyone, givemethevin.com, givemethevin.com. So easy you can do it in your underwear. Givemethevin.com. So easy that you can do it in your underwear. What I need you to do right now is please go to givemethevin.com and sell John Clay Wolf your car. Have you heard his show on Saturday mornings? It is awesome. 9 to 12 right here on ESPN 97.5. If you're looking for a great way to make some money on your car, and it's stupid sometimes, but listening to him, and he gives this woman another extra $500,000 so she would give a pair of shoes to his producer. I mean, it's hilarious. You got to listen to the show on Saturday mornings. But most of all, you got to sell your car at the best price you can sell it for. He buys them. He's going to make sure that you get the best deal. If CarMax beats your deal, beats his deal, he'll give you $100. And he says he does. He pays it up a couple, three, five times a week. Yeah, CarMax can beat that. I can't give you that. And it takes it's so quick at givemethevin.com. And within a minute, if you put it in and everything is fine, it hasn't been an accident, if it's not really, really old, you'll get a quote back in less than a minute. This happens every day at givemethevin.com. That's givemethevin.com. Sell your car to John Clay Wolf at givemethevin.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Pace on a deep drop. Steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side. Caught by Diggs. Stay up. Oh, my God. Loose. Oh, my God. 30. No. 10. Way. Touchdown. Are you kidding me? It's a Minneapolis miracle. Stephon Diggs and the Minnesota Vikings have walked off on the New Orleans Saints. It's a 61-yard Minneapolis miracle. I can't believe what I just saw, Kyle. What an unbelievable play.
So... twice he said Minneapolis Miracle.
I don't like you naming it in the middle of the play. I don't like giving it a name in the middle.
Okay, so that tells you a couple things. Number one, he had a name for it in case something happened. He had already like, and probably not just this game, but he at some point in his career, he said, I'm waiting to use Minneapolis Miracle.
That's Paul Allen on the call.
Yeah, Paul Allen's been around a long time. So he probably had Minneapolis Miracle hold up for the right moment, and he figured, I'll never get it.
Or he has used it before.
Yeah, he may have used it before, like on some win.
But no one ever, because it was,
it was game, like week three.
Right.
And they kicked a field goal from 54 or something. It's a Minneapolis miracle. And I'm like, 54 or 54.
No, that was a Minneapolis
miracle. Kids in high school are doing it now.
So, wait a minute.
But he says it twice because
if you have the Music City miracle, why can't you have the Minneapolis miracle?
That's what I'm saying, but all these announcers know. You think Mark Vandermeer accidentally said rock and roll? That was going to be his thing.
No, he practiced it in the mirror a thousand times.
He said rock and roll back at Miami.
Yeah.
He can't rock and roll for
but he had to have a catchphrase, otherwise he wouldn't be with the Texans, who love catchphrases.
Just like Ricky Gervais, you got to have a catchphrase.
You got to.
Just like an extras.
Yeah.
You trying to have a laugh? So anyway, he's got Minneapolis Miracle. Okay. They know that these calls are going to live in infamy. They know that this is forever going to be linked to that. To this day, you can go find Gene Peterson's call, Tracy McGrady's crazy 37 points in 6 seconds or whatever against San Antonio. You can hear him scream out bull bleep against Utah. You can hear, there's a lot of Gene Petersons out there.
Yeah.
But these guys know that they're going to live in infamy, so they want to get Joe Buck does it all the time. Joe Buck, where you take there's a pause, then you say your line, and then you stop immediately. You hope the other guy doesn't step on it because you want people to be able to grab that phrase and like, ooh, let's take this Joe Buck beauty and put it in the Announcers Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to have the next. And it probably started with, do you believe in miracles, is my guess. That's where it really started with announcers realized. Because is there anything else that you remember that was iconic?
Yeah. I don't believe what I just saw.
But you're talking about that old guy from Boston?
No, it was Jack Buck.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, Jack Buck.
Did he say that for?
For Kirk Gibson's home run, no? Yeah, Kirk Gibson's home run. And Vin Scully had an iconic call. And, well, it happened before that. It actually happened with Hank Aaron's home run, I think.
Milo
had the Holy Toledo or whatever he did.
Well, and that was something you could practice because you knew it was coming. The story was Al Michaels actually got that phrase from a guy named John O'Reilly, who was here in Houston, who told the story. I said something in a break. You know, his story was, I said something in a break to
do you believe in miracles?
And then Al Michaels took that and said, oh, I'm going to use that.
Yeah.
And he said, do you believe in miracles? He kind of lifted it from. So those guys practice those little calls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, Mark Vandermeer, you
know.
That
don't accidentally happen.
He sits in front of the mirror and he goes, rock and roll. I mean, you know he does that.
And we're friends with Mark.
No.
We can say that because we know.
No, I called him a few times. You know, at his hotel room, he was screaming it in the next room. I called him and said, "Mark, can you keep that down?" And knocking on the wall, "Mark, can you keep that down in there? Your rock and rolls, your rock and roll practice. That'd be great." Anyway,
keep your rock and roll down. I'm trying to sleep.
So, but you know what?
Now, another sack.
Why can't
I'm just practicing, John? Another sack of Carr. So you should have been practicing.
Well,
sacked again.
Why can't we have Minneapolis Miracle? Why can't we have
sounds
anything nice?
Forced.
That's fine. It sounds forced.
It was a little forced, but that's all right. We got
the
Music
alliteration
City.
Of Music City Miracle Monday. They probably got that going on today, so you can get
well,
the three.
When did
in
Immaculate
there.
Reception come out? I mean, so
that's a play on words. That's pretty clever.
That
Immaculate
is pretty clever.
Conception, Immaculate Reception.
Yeah.
That's pretty clever.
That was pretty good. And let's rank them. Immaculate Reception is still number one.
Well, because you had to have a defender touch the ball first, right? What
right.
was that rule with that?
Right.
Why was that?
Well, yes, it had to be because you couldn't have two offensive guys touch the ball at that time for it to be a completion. There had to be somebody in between. You couldn't
that's
one
the,
t- one offensive
what
guy
random
couldn't.
Random rule is that?
I have no idea. An offensive guy couldn't tip it to another offensive guy for a, t-
yeah.
for a reception. So. Anyway, they had to rule, and they weren't getting out of there unless they did. Of course, they didn't have replay. They just said, yeah, so let's run. But that was number one. Music City Miracle, Roger Staubach's Hail Mary.
What are these
with Drew Pearson.
Call. Okay,
these
so
are
where
playoff,
did the phrase.
Play, last play playoff wins.
Where did the phrase. Hail, so my kids got in a fight. Mahdi said something. My 7-year-old daughter said something about. We said something about a Hail Mary play, and she goes, yeah, because you pray a Hail Mary to do it. And Snacks is like, no, it isn't, Marty. You don't even know what a Hail Mary is. I'm like, actually, Snacks, she's actually right. The
it's a
phrase
prayer.
Hail Mary as a pet, it's
an
based
answer to
on
a prayer.
An answer to a prayer, Snacks. Right. So actually, your 7-year-old sister is right. And then she started going in on him, and he's like, you don't even know any football. Oh, really, Marty? Really, Marty? Then who did Ray Allen get drafted by? Like, he started trying to hit her with basketball trivia. Like, just stop.
What?
Stop trying to fight with your 7-year-old sister. And I got them in a push-up contest the other day. I'm like, I got a dollar forever can do the most push-ups. The two of them, like, because both of them, they're super competitive. But my daughter's probably more competitive. And Snacks had to go first because he lost a, you know, what's the number behind my hand? Right. He got it wrong. Mahdi, you get a pick, first or second? She's just turned 7.
So wait a minute. It was you holding the fingers behind your back?
Yeah.
So does Snacks not get this one?
I actually let her see it. So he picked wrong. And so Mahdi got to go first. And Snacks did, to his credit, he did 30 push-ups. It was pretty good for him. For, I guess, how old is he? 9-year-old boy. Mahdi does 32, and I didn't count 4 of them. That doesn't count. You didn't go far enough down. She did, a 7-year-old girl did 32 push-ups because I already knew whatever he did, she was going to beat because she refuses to lose. So it's like, well, she's cranking out these push-ups.
Why are you raising Pocket Hercules?
Yeah,
but, she's skinny too. But she's a swimmer.
She has no weight to lift off the ground.
Well, that's
she's
that's
a 7-year-old girl.
That's
of course, she was going to win. Snacks is ready for his next.
Oh, he tried
Cinnabon.
To challenge. He's like. No, that's another one. Snacks is, he's pretty lame. His Snacks goes, rematch! And I said, you can't rematch at sit-ups! I'm like, just take your L. She gets the dollar, take your L. We're doing sit-ups later, Mahdi! Okay.
Oh, why are you letting the 9-year-old lose to the 7-year-old girl?
It's making him tougher.
He's still walking around
it's
going, what a
tougher.
Failure I am.
Oh, I already told him, I said, yesterday there was something I said, I can't remember how I used it against him, but you're the one that lost the push-up battle to Mahdi.
Keep playing them games, Lance.
I still just
keep playing them games.
I'm fine-tuning champions.
I don't know if it's a champion or that kid all of a sudden, hey, that kid's got a problem with women.
Yeah. No. When he starts killing cats and dogs around the neighborhood, pretending they're Mahdi.
By the time it's over, Lance is going to hope it's only cats and dogs.
Yeah. I know.
What's that the gateway to?
Yeah, well.
I know. I'm always constantly, like, when I sleep, I've already joked. John knows that my son Alec is a little baby Oedipus. With his relationship with his mom, like, hey, I got to worry about getting cut here at some point.
I had to worry, JT, when he was young. I got him a bow and arrow, which was giving a 9-year, 10-year-old a real bow and arrow.
Oh, yeah, that's not.
And he shot
choice.
A squirrel, and I thought, oh God, I'm raising a serial killer. Good Lord.
Now that could be just a little kid, like hunting squirrels, which is not like I've thrown rocks and stuff at squirrels or whatever. I never had a BB gun or air gun because I might shoot my eye out is what the movie told me. But that could be normal or it could be a sign of a sociopath that turns into a serial killer. You just don't know.
I don't know. At the time, well, I kind of felt good about it because when he shot it and the arrow got the squirrel in the eye, he came running in the house all scared. So That was good. That was a good sign.
That was a sign. If he had just...
He didn't walk over to the squirrel and wipe his blood on his forehead? No, he didn't do that.
Like in Ozark, when they're seeing the disemboweled animals and they're like, this isn't a good sign. This kid's dragging these animals over here. Like,
yeah.
We got a serial killer.
Yeah, no.
And I started this new show called something... I hate the bleeping world or something like that on Netflix.
Is it two British English kids?
Yeah. And one of them is literally a serial killer. And he starts dating her. He's a sociopath. He's in high school. And he decides, I guess I'll... You hear their inner monologue. He's like, I guess I'll start dating this girl. She'll be good to practice on. I can just kill her first. And this whole... But it's like a lighthearted... And she's like, aunt rebellious. I hate my mother. Blah, 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 blah. And he's like... And in his head, they do flashback scenes of him holding a bloody knife. Like, how am I going to kill her? He's practicing. And they're... Like, he's always looking for the right time to murder her.
But I love that.
Oh, but it just comes up just short. Like, oh, it's not going to work right now. And it's kind of... It's a funny serial killer show.
What serial killer show is it?
All I watch is serial killer shows.
Yeah, I know. Well, I know. I feel... I don't tell people I watch serial killer shows because there's like... Yeah, it's a morbid obsession with it.
Have you ever watched Dexter?
Yes.
Yeah. Have you ever watched Mindhunter?
Yeah. Yes.
Have you ever, and there's another. What was the one we were talking about the other day? There's another serial killer show.
I don't know, but it's... I don't know why, but I am kind of enthralled by them. I am also enthralled by Champion Energy. You know why? Because I save money. I'm killing my bills is what I'm doing. I just paid it off, as a matter of fact. I pay it the 15th of the month, and it was like, that's nothing. Here, take that. Like that's going to affect me in any way, shape, or form, Champion. You're so unimportant. You know why? Because it's next to nothing. You know what I love about my Champion Energy bill? Everything. Because it's insignificant, and I actually dominate it. I dominate my bill every single time. Yep. I feel great about dominating.
Do you put your hand around your bill's neck?
No, I just... It's online. It doesn't have a neck. My laptop doesn't have a neck.
I don't know.
But if it did, I would. I would choke it to death.
No. <Okay. laughs>
Maybe put a bag over it.
No.
Choke it out.
No.
That's what I would do. Well, that's what I need to do right now at 1560energy.com. If you want your bill to be insignificant, 1560energy.com, 281-653-5090, promo code 1560.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Oh, yeah, there's one other thing that we forgot to mention that happened. Garrett Cole.
I said that in the first segment.
Just no, we didn't do ignored. Garrett Cole, did we?
I said it, but you ignored it.
Well, if you said it, it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm talking about...
I'm insignificant like your bill?
Well, not really. Like, no, not like that at all. Yeah, that was a pretty good play, but that was overtime. That was the Larry Fitzgerald play. ESPN showing great finishes to NFL playoff games.
He was a one-man wrecking crew at the end of that Packers game.
The Roger Staubach Hail Mary to Drew Pearson. So... What about Garrett Cole? Okay, what's your rotation right now?
It's going to be Keuchel, Verlander. It should be Verlander, Keuchel, but...
It's going to be Verlander.
You think?
Well, that's how they started the playoffs.
It wasn't the timing of everything?
No, they had time to set it up.
I bet you it's going to be Keuchel 1, Verlander 2.
I don't. I bet it's going to be Verlander. It's going to be Verlander 1. Only that, so that you can have a lefty in between righties.
Cole 3. Let's see. McCullers is closing, obviously. No, McCullers 4. And then, I mean, I would go, personally, I would try my hand at Colin McHugh 5. And then I would have Peacock in the...
What about pen. Charlie Morton?
Oh, what am I talking about? Yeah, Charlie M., yeah. The professor. Why would I not have the professor in
there? See, that's why I thought Colin McHugh...
Let me start over. Verlander 1, Charlie Morton 2.
Then Charlie Morton 1.
Yeah, Verlander 2. Then Keuchel. Then McCullers. Wow, is this a team? This feels Bravesy. This feels very Bravesy.
This is like... Steve Avery is Lance McCullers. Even if you have injuries, you're not going to a game where you don't get a good starter. If you have two guys down at once, you put McHugh and Peacock in
Holy
at 4 and 5.
Crap.
What you've also done now is potentially made a move. Now you'll have to pay him, but you made a move for a younger version of Dallas Keuchel, where you could let Dallas Keuchel walk since he's getting a little older. No, pitching age is relative, but it's not like he's a power arm guy.
Well, no, but...
But you could let him walk.
He probably will. I think that's what you're...
And you still have bought yourself a little bit of time with
Cole. 2 years, though.
Yeah. But still, it's a window where you're not going to have to pay where you're going to have to pay with Keuchel, at least a year. Because Keuchel, you're going to have to pay.
Yeah, this is his last year. This is that. So you've got two more years, and then you hope you with Cole you hope you come to an agreement if you like him, big strong guy, as opposed to Keuchel, who has been in love Keuchel and all of the stuff, but he's been injury prone. He's a smaller guy. I don't know how much longer he's Maddox like in that he doesn't have overwhelming stuff, and yet he still gets the job done at an unbelievable pace. And you know, his numbers are spectacular when he's on, but you have to worry about that injury thing all the time. Yep. Would you rather pay a big, strong guy like Gerrit Cole over the long term or a Dallas Keuchel over the long term?
Well, I don't know, because let's see how Cole pitches this year. He gave up 31 homers last year. Dallas Keuchel, I kind of know who he is. I mean, he struggled the year before. But he came back with a vengeance this year.
And, by the way, this is in the American League where it's tougher to pitch.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I just know this much, though. You have options now. Because there's not a lot of... Now, Forrest Whitley, now you can sit and keep him down low, too, and not have to bring him up and save more money.
No, I know, but you're going to get that same thing that you got with Springer is, okay, dudes, I'm ready to come up. This is pissing me off. Because you don't want to start options. You know what? I got a career, too. But you know what? The Astros aren't in the business to worry about Forrest Whitley.
He's still relatively young. He's like a tiny infant based on the Jerry Hunsicker and Drake McLean era.
Oh,
Papura.
Yeah.
He's like a tiny infant. Like, we don't even consider bringing those fellas up until they're 32. So I don't have to pay them. We got club control till they're 40. Like, that's... Doesn't seem like the way to build a team, Drayton.
Well,
it is a way to build a team if you don't want to go bust, because this is not a lucrative business. I'm barely making any money at all. I'm losing money, in fact. You're not losing money, Drayton. Stop lying. You just got a new stadium. Don't matter. It's hard paying all these fellers. Well, I feel like you shouldn't be leaving all your minor leaguers down. Then we found out why. They couldn't play. Although Roy came up in relative time, and so did Lance Berkman.
Yeah. No. That wasn't everybody. By the way, you bring them up when you're ready to win, and, you know, that's why George Springer's pissed off. But you got arbitration done with Keuchel's getting over $13 million. That's fine. Springer's going to be a problem, I think. I think Springer could be contentious this year. Yeah, they're not.
I don't think he's. I think he's. I don't think he's upset with the organization or anything. I think contentious would be.
Ooh, yeah, he is. Oh yeah,
for
he
what?
Absolutely is. Because they didn't bring him when he's hitting 50 homers, and they wouldn't bring him up because they didn't want to start his options.
But they did. In the,
now
in
he's
going to
be 32 years old before he's a free agent. Yeah, he's pissed.
They did in the middle of the season. Well, he's still going to get paid.
Well, he brought him up in the middle of the season, so his options wouldn't start that year.
No.
Right. That's a little game they play.
But you know what? There's a fine line that you draw between, because the Astros were nowhere near ready to win at all when they brought him up. You still have to make decisions that are best for your team. Like, you're not trying to make decisions that are... This is what everyone has a hard time understanding. I'm not always good with it. The fact is, from a business standpoint, it was the right thing for the Astros to do. Now...
Right.
You're right. I guess that's irrelevant for how George feels about things, because he wants to get to his payday. But you can also treat the guy right in arbitration if you want to. But by the same token, they're not in the business of trying to make sure that George Springer gets as much money as he can. They're in the business of trying to keep their payroll at a reasonable level. So those two sides, you know, are never going to see face-to-face ever. And are you going to end – I still think Georgie could be the guy who gets – you know, who goes – because you're going to have to figure out who to pay.
And that's the difficult part, is who you're going to pay.
Three guys making 20-plus million?
Right. Guys are going to be coming
I'm just talking about in the lineup only. Three guys, 20-plus million?
You're going to have...
I mean, Correa's going to be close to 30. I don't see how you're going to... If you get Altuve for 20 million, is it possible for me to say you're stealing at 20 million?
Well, he's the best value in baseball right now. And at 20 million, he'd still be a great value.
Yeah.
Still be a great value.
So I don't think it's...
But he's got Boris. He ain't taking 20 million.
I know. That's why Georgie may have a hard time getting paid as an Astro.
Yeah.
And his value if you moved him, but I don't want to see that happen. I really truly believe George Springer might be the heart and soul of the team.
Here's another point of contention for Springer. He's filed at 10-5 and the Astros countered at 8-5.
Sounds like I got a solution. The old 9-5.
Well, no, they're going to arbitration.
I know. And one side wins, right?
Well, and he probably does win. I mean, with the number of home runs that he hit, leading off, all-star, World Series MVP.
So are we good then? Is he going to be happy then? Are we good? No more contentiousness?
No. And by the way, when you go to arbitration and the team says what a POS you are.
Hey, the team tried to treat him right. They said, hey, how about you and John Singleton take these sweet deals? 10 years, $5 million a year for life. We'll give you a 20-year, $100 million deal. Like, it's guaranteed. Springer's like, nah, I'm good. I'm not taking. John Singleton's like, hell yeah, I'll take this guarantee money.
Dude, $2 million a year? What?
What? Guarantee?
You know how many Cheetos that is?
And I've never done anything. That's right. And then he came up, struck out, and he just, when he walked back, every time when you go up to the plate and all you hear is, money, 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 your walk up music, that guy got over on you.
Right. No, and some kind of, you know.
They were like, God. They're like, God, why couldn't it have been Springer that said yes to that deal and Singleton that said no?
She don't lie. She don't. That's not good walk-up music.
No, you don't want to hear
the cocaine.
walk-up music. I'm in love with the cuckoo. Like, what? What is he saying in his song?
That's not good.
Do you
walk
really
up
want to have that as walk-up music? Del, find us some of the words.
Not unless your name is Coco Crisp.
Yeah. Now that makes sense. No, you can't have Molly.
That's good walk-up music.
You can't. Del, find some of the worst walk-up music you can have during the show today.
8 o'clock, ESPN. Molly Percocet. ESPN 97.5. Let's talk about H, John, and Pete. Those are my peeps over there, University of Houston guys. And Mike Holly is anyway. Great. He blocked for Andre Ware. And if you're a University of Houston person and you got a business, you're a CFO or you're the CEO or whatever, and you make decisions about your payroll, if you're not completely satisfied with your payroll company, well, ours is great. Ours is awesome. Ours is the best. We love them. I'm telling you, you can call Laura Beavers here at the station and ask her about HR&P, and she's going to give you the lowdown. She's going to give you it is awesome in that, listen, you have the taxes to take care of, Affordable Care Act to take care of, the payroll to take care of, the HR to take care of, all of the calculating, all the stuff. You're like, I can't do this. Well, HR&P does all of it. They take care of all of it. You need to get with a company that's going to take care of you. If your payroll company says, hey, here's a disc, take care of your ACA. No, Affordable Care Act, you take care of it. That's what your payroll company should be doing. 281-880-6525. See the new website. Go see the new offices on the Beltway. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
Any team that's tested AI tools for data has seen the pattern already. AI gives a different number than your BI tool. Metrics don't match across teams. And inevitably, users lose trust. It turns out, turning on AI is easy, but making it work on data is not. Hex AI was built to solve this. The key is nailing context. Hex is built to unify and curate your data context for agents. Data teams can observe, govern, and continuously improve every AI answer, so answers get smarter the more your team asks. The result? Your entire organization asks data questions in natural language and trusts the answers. Not because the AI got lucky, because it knows your business and its data. because that's what an AI analytics platform should do. Join data teams from Cursor, Lovable, Ramp, AWS, and over 2,000 more at hex.ai.
Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing, or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry the Bahamas and USA.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.